And you are listening to Christ Jesus Lay in Death Strong Bands. And that just so happens to be the hymn chosen for this coming Sunday, which is a special Sunday. Of course, it's going to be the Sunday of Easter. And with me, we have our good friend, Pastor Mark Smith. And I'm going to ask him this question. How come on Easter we're singing a hymn whose title sounds like it's Good Friday?
Well, because that's it's the death of death. I mean, Christ is risen from the dead, and he was indeed in death's strong bands, but he's broken through. That's what Easter's all about. He's risen.
So when you're saying that he is risen, that Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands is just a, how shall I put it, a looking back as to why he had to rise, because he died.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, I don't know if we know much about the author.
Oh, that's Martin Luther.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, the words are great. I have to say, this is not an Easter hymn that I use a whole lot.
Right.
But the words are, you know, terrific, and there are a lot of stanzas.
You usually expect it would be Jesus Christ is risen today or something like that.
Yes, of course.
But this is, let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So this is the third year of a set of readings. And it just so happens that the Easter hymn is different each of the 3 years. And this one here is, of course, the one that we just heard sung by Higher Things. They did that in 2015 at Seward, Nebraska. Higher Things is a youth organization somewhat affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we've got seven stanzas. Boy, why don't you go ahead and read the first one.
Okay. Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands for our offenses given. But now at God's right hand he stands and brings us life from heaven. Therefore, let us joyful be and sing to God right thankfully loud songs of Alleluia, Alleluia.
Yesterday, the Old Testament reading was about the new heaven and the new earth. And when I first read it, I thought it was talking about Judgment Day.
Yes.
But it wasn't.
No.
What was it talking about?
I heard that part of your radio program.
Yes. It's talking about the new heaven and the new earth.
The recreation that Easter brings us.
Yes. And in fact, that's what this stanza says. But now at God's right hand, he stands and brings us life from heaven. You see, that's all in the present tense. He's at God's right hand. That's his ascension. And he stands. It doesn't say, and he will stand to bring us to life in heaven. No, he brings us life from heaven right now. How do we understand that life from heaven in the midst of a world that is so overcome with suffering, death, sin, etc.?
Why do you always put me on the spot, Tom?
Let me make it very clear. What is the new life?
The new life is in Christ, of course.
But what does that mean practically?
Our life begins anew in baptism.
Yes, because what has God done?
Easter is the new creation.
Yes.
Just as the old creation began on the first day of the week, so also the new creation is on the first day of the week, Easter Sunday.
You're
a new creature now in Christ.
What were the words Jesus said to his disciples? First night.
When he said, do not be afraid.
No, the first word was, peace be with
peace
you.
Peace be with you, yes. Peace be with you, because
see, that's
then
the
he
new
talks
life.
About going to, I ascend to my Father and to your Father.
Yeah, but the new life we're talking about is that our sins are forgiven. We're back in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
From God's point of view.
Yes.
That's the new life. Prior to that, the old life is one where God counts your sins against you.
That's no longer the case.
No. And I think that's what the heaven is that has been brought down. I'll read stanza 2. No son of man could conquer death. Such ruin sin had wrought us. No innocence was found on earth. and therefore death had brought us into bondage from of old, and ever grew more strong and bold, and held us as its captive. See, I think that's describing the old life.
Right.
But it says no son of man could conquer death. I thought Jesus was a son of man.
No, it's talking. It says no son of man. It's talking about no other human being but Christ. Had to be the Son of God in order to conquer death. But you're right. That was his favorite. That was his favorite expression for himself. The
yes,
Son of Man.
Son of Man.
This is talking about
that
no.
That was an interesting thing what you just said. I'm not sure that he had to be God to conquer death. Why couldn't he just been man? Because Adam and Eve were just men, and they had conquered death in the Garden of Eden prior to their sin.
Well, his blood has infinite value.
Yeah, that's good. Because he's divine, he's not just dying for one other person.
It's just like...
that's good.
It's just like another condemned convict on death row can't die for somebody else.
No. And in that story we talked about, France, remember? What was the name of that where he died for the man that the woman loved?
Oh, you're talking about Tale of Two Cities.
Remember,
yes.
He died in his place, but he could only die for one person.
That's right.
When he died, they didn't say, oh, okay, everybody else doesn't have to be headless.
No, he died for all.
Yeah, Jesus died for all.
Jesus died
That's
for
a good
all.
Point you made. Because he's divine, his death extended to the whole world. Had he just been only a human being, that would not have happened. Stanza 3.
Christ Jesus, God's own Son, came down, his people to deliver. Destroying sin, he took the crown from death's pale brow forever. Stripped of power, no more it reigns. An empty form alone remains. Its sting is lost forever. Alleluia. That's a great verse. You know, Christ ripped the crown off of death's pale brow. You know,
who would that be because, referring to?
It's referring to Christ.
No, death. No.
You think it's talking about the devil? Or yeah. You think it's talking about death personified?
No, I think the devil, because he was wearing the crown.
Mm-hmm.
He was king of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Jesus says in John, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. And the work is to keep us, as the previous verse said, in bondage. So you could talk about, you know, your point would be correct too, because the Bible says, I just read this last night, what is the last enemy to be defeated?
Yeah. Death is the last one to put under his feet.
Yeah. Right. So if you have, you just don't know what Bible verse Martin Luther had in mind. Like down.
It's a great picture though.
Yes.
It's a great picture. Coming, you know, Christ coming down and ripping off the crown off of death's pale brow.
That's right.
And robbing him, its sting is lost forever. There's still, of course, you know, death is still there. I mean, we still bury our loved ones. I was out in the cemetery.
Not really.
The other day,
in this sense, the Christian never dies.
Right.
So death is gone.
Yeah.
Right now. We just think death is temporal death. And we don't realize...
It's reduced to a shadow.
Yeah. Because Jesus says to Mary at Lazarus, he who believes in me will never die. So I often say that in a prayer where he died so that we will never die.
And yet, death still has its tears. I mean, let's face it, even Jesus died. Even Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. He understood what death... The separation involved.
Yes.
I think you've got to watch it. You've got to watch how you say that because, you know, people still, they still feel terribly at the loss of a loved one. You bury a child or someone like that. I mean, death is still, you know, the body goes back to the soil. And of course, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Right. So we interpret it as death, but God doesn't.
Yeah.
That's really important to understand.
Well, and he says Lazarus sleeps.
Yeah. And that most other religions, death is cessation of your existence. Whereas in Christianity, no. You continue to exist only in the spirit.
Yes.
So our grief really isn't over the fact that somebody has gone out of existence, but they have left this temporal world, so we no longer will see them, talk with them, be with them, and this sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's always a difficult day on the anniversary.
Oh, absolutely.
Of a death, yes. So go ahead and would you read stanza four?
It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life. The reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. The death of death. You know, that's a great sermon title, isn't it? That death is swallowed up by death. Its sting is lost forever. Hallelujah.
Yeah, it repeats, its sting is lost forever from 3. How do we understand that? Where does that language come from? It's actually from 1 Corinthians 15. You know, what is the sting of death?
The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law.
Thanks be
to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, this is something a lot of people still don't understand, that the sting of death is really the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death will be the result. Now, everybody assumes that's me he's talking about, but he's really foreshadowing Jesus, who will be the death. And when you read that, that's really a good line. Death is swallowed up by death.
I know I've heard that sermon title.
The
death of death.
The death of death.
Death of death. That's what Easter is all about.
Right, right. Or Good Friday.
That's right. It is finished.
Yeah, it is finished. I asked this question. I'll give you another question.
Okay.
What's the bigger celebration, Good Friday or Easter?
Oh, you asked that question yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
How can you have one without the other? Which is more? Well, if I absolutely had to choose, I would of course choose Easter.
Yes.
Because Easter, you know, God tells us 4 things in Easter. He says, number 1, I've accepted the sacrifice my son has made on the cross.
Good.
Jesus is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God.
All right.
Number 3, because he is risen, your tomb also will be empty on the last day. And the 4th one is his word is true.
Okay.
Those 4 things. Those
yes.
4 things that his resurrection teaches us. So it is very important. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, Good Friday. I mean, we call it Good Friday because for us, it is our redemption. It is finished. Mission accomplished. We have been redeemed. All of our sins have been atoned for by Jesus on the cross. How can you, you know?
Okay, I would say his mission is over.
Yes.
But not the Trinity's mission.
Right.
Because in 1 Corinthians 15, what does the Apostle Paul say? If he has not risen, you are
still in your sins.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. That's why the resurrection is so important.
Yes. So the resurrection is where you get a lot more people coming and such, because that's really the conclusion.
Both resurrections, Christ's resurrection and our own resurrection on the last day, are bound together. You can't have one without the other. You can't deny one without the other.
But I go even closer to home, that according to Ephesians, we've already risen.
Yes, in Christ.
In Christ. In fact, we've already ascended to heaven.
In Christ.
In Christ. Because we're part of his body. He's the head. We're the body. Wherever the head is, so also is the rest of the body.
Yeah. And we walk by faith right now, not by sight. And someday we see the full culmination of that on the last day. New heaven and new earth.
On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, I'm going to go over that film that was, well, it was actually a play people were singing called The Passion. Did you see that Sunday night?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was a 2-hour item, and it was done in New Orleans.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
How was that?
I'm going to talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to say anything, because if I talk about it today, then nobody's going to listen tomorrow.
Okay.
I will say it has some good parts and it has some bad parts. I just don't understand, and I'll be talking about that tomorrow, why we can't have a representation of the cross and the resurrection that is accurate to the Bible. Man, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But at any rate, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it a 6.5 or a 7. And compared to Noah, did you see Noah?
Yes. You mean the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was
terrible.
Wow.
That would be about
bizarre.
A 2. And by the way, I didn't know this, but they got very few people coming to see it. Yeah. The attendance was
Noah?
Really low.
The movie? Noah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because the word had gotten out that it wasn't really biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And this was more biblical. It was a lot of singing, and we'll talk a little bit about the hymns and such. But if children are watching these things, what do you need to warn the children about, and what do you need to praise the movie about? Because it was, I'd say, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was about a 7.5. I rate movies by numbers.
I think the best movie about Christ I've ever seen, it's still my favorite, Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, it came out, I think, in the early 80s or late 70s, and there was a lot of controversy when it came out. But
why? Was there a lot?
Well, I think there are a number of church leaders that questioned how accurate it was going to be, and I think really when it was exhibited, I think they had to agree it was a pretty good rendition. I've always enjoyed that. I can see it again and again.
Yeah. There were words said in that weren't biblical, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why my favorite movie was done by a communist, and it was called The Gospel According to St. Matthew.
Oh, yes, I remember that one. I don't know if I ever got to see that.
I saw it at the seminary. There isn't one word spoken that is not from the Gospel of St. Matthew.
Is that right?
It was just really good.
Yeah.
But I know I had some friends there, and Jesus was somewhat humorous, you know, the way they use the words. And some people didn't think of Jesus as being humorous, but he was really quite humorous. But that's another Bible study. Stanza 5, please.
Here our true Paschal Lamb we see, whom God so freely gave us. He died on the accursed tree, so strong his love to save us. See, his blood now marks our door. Faith points to it, death passes o'er, and Satan cannot harm us. Alleluia. Another good verse.
Now, it's kind of interesting that this refers to what?
Well, there's a reference there to the Passover plague.
Yes.
You know, just like the blood of the lamb was spread upon the doorpost and lintel, the angel passed over.
So we've already had references to the crucifixion.
Right.
And to the Passover. Guess what? That's Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and culminating in Easter. That his blood now marks our door, referring to what?
Well, I suppose, you know,
I'm talking about the Passover.
You're talking about the Passover? Well, when the lamb's blood was spread upon the doorpost and lintel.
And Jesus is now the lamb.
Right.
And so that is over our door. And therefore, death passes o'er.
Right.
Which means we don't die.
That's right.
Yeah. There is a passing from this temporal life to the one with Jesus. But Satan cannot harm us. I love those words in the A Mighty Fortress. He's judged.
The deed is done. One little word can fell him.
Yeah. See, that's really true. If you live by faith, by sight.
That's right.
You live by sight, you're not going to find any evidence for what the Bible has to say. Because it says that in your deepest troubles, God doesn't leave you nor forsake you. And it sure feels like he has.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where your faith thing comes in. Faith instead trusts the promises of the gospel rather than what we see with our eyes.
Yeah, I think of another hymn, faith clings to Christ alone who has the world atoned.
Yes, yes. And that faith is trusting When we say we believe in Jesus, we don't mean we believe that he was a human being or that he was divine. I mean, all that's included, or that he died or that he rose. None of that saves anybody. What saves you is that all those works brought to you the forgiveness of sins and new life that Luther is speaking about here. I'll read stanza 6. So let us keep the festival to which the Lord invites us. Christ is himself the joy of all, the sun that warms and lights us. Now his grace to us imparts eternal sunshine to our hearts. The night of sin is ended. Alleluia.
Christ is himself the joy of all, the sun. I'm surprised they didn't capitalize sun there. The sun that warms and lights us.
Simply because it's S-U-N, not S-O-N.
Right. But you could say Christ is the sun that warms and lights us.
Yeah, I've never seen that capitalized.
No.
Yeah.
But don't you think that's what it's saying there? Christ is himself the joy of all, the sun that warms and lights us?
Yes, and...
Don't you think that's comparing Christ to the sun?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it should be capitalized or not, the only...
I guess not.
Well, I'll tell you where you might be right. Have you ever seen those banners with the names of Jesus on it?
Yes.
You know, Messiah, Father, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I mean, there's about 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
If the word Son was on there, S-U-N, it'd be capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that Jesus could be understood as the Son, but I'm not sure that would be a name. I've never seen the word Son up on any of those banners, but because that's metaphor. He's also the Lamb.
Right.
But there they would capitalize that, wouldn't they? When they say
yes,
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, nobody buy this hymnal because Son isn't capitalized. No. Well, you make a point. If that's his name. The problem is when you say, oh, Son of God, nobody knows whether it's S-U-N or S-O-N.
Right.
And that's why you need to read these things. But he brings eternal sunshine. For example, I left the house and my wife said, are you going to wear a jacket? Because it was kind of cool out.
It's kind of cool still.
But it's going up to 70, which means the sun will
warm things up.
Yeah. So I didn't have to. Makes a big difference. The sun, the night of sin is entered. That's a lot of this is metaphorical, that prior to the coming of Jesus, we live in the night. So finally we get to Easter, stanza 7.
Then let us feast this Easter day on Christ, the bread of heaven. The word of grace has purged away the old and evil leaven. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. Alleluia.
All right, what is that talking about?
References, of course, to the Lord's Supper.
Excellent, actually. Yes. The Lord's Supper. So you really put everything together. Monday, Thursday's in here. Good Friday's in here. Easter's here. The only sacrament not mentioned that I didn't see was baptism.
Well, is there a slight reference to it when we talk about his blood now marks our door? Wouldn't you say baptism is the blood that marks our door?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you're right. Because we even talk about it as...
What the lamb's blood on the doorpost and lintels was for the Israelites, baptism is for us.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Because we even refer to it as an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore we're taking out of the kingdom of Satan and put it into the kingdom of God. So you have the sacraments, you've got Monday, Thursday, you got Good Friday, and you've got Easter. So it's really a good opening hymn, you know, for Easter.
It is.
Yeah, because it starts bringing everything together. And when are your Easter services?
We have a regular time.
Oh, regular time.
9 a.m. Sunday morning. We're not having a Saturday services. We encourage the people that worship Saturday to come Sunday morning. So 9 a.m. Sunday morning, followed by a breakfast, Easter breakfast, and Easter egg hunt.
Oh. There's no Bible study after the service?
No. We've got Easter breakfast.
Yeah, I did the Sunday school lesson yesterday on issues. As I'm doing it, I'm thinking, nobody's using this. Not Easter. Hardly anybody has.
But you always do a good job, Tom.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you your money later. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about The Passion that was on television. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
It's a Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.